And welcome again to another episode of FitSpeak, the Okanagan's fitness, wellness, and endurance sports podcast. I'm Kevin Hunt. FitSpeak is brought to you by the Saturday app. Save hundreds of dollars a year by putting yourself in charge of your race day and training day nutrition. The Saturday app coaches you on how to dial in just the right amount of sugar, salt, and water to fuel your adventures, whether that's doing a 5K or an Ultraman. Try the Saturday app for free. Click on the link at the bottom of our podcast page. Also brought to you by A-Squared Bikes. Tested in the tunnel, aero and affordable. And with the dark season here in the Okanagan, along with the Pacific Northwest, it's time to put away that time trial bike and go rogue. The Rogue is A-Squared's go anywhere, do anything fearlessly machine. Check out the bike by clicking on it at the bottom of our podcast page. Finally, we're brought to you by our local bike rack and storage company, Swagman out of Penticton. And with the snow up at Apex, you know it's ski season, both cross-country and downhill. What better way to get your gear up and down the hill than the Squall 4? It works with round, oval, or square crossbars. It locks for security. It's reliable winter transport in a sleek, durable design. Click on the ski rack at the bottom of our podcast page. It's the Squall 4 by Swagman. Our next guest, a BC high school teacher, a fellow podcaster, and probably the biggest authority on ultra triathlon in North America. Welcome back to FitSpeak, Larry Ryan.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you so much for joining us on what's shaping up to be kind of a half sunny, half cloudy day in the Okanagan. What's the weather report from where you are?
I'm down in Coquitlam outside of Vancouver, and the weather is very much the same.
So you've got above freezing or below freezing this morning?
Oh, we're above. Yeah, we haven't really had that below freezing time of the year yet. I'm sure it's coming. But yeah, I've only had to scrape my car windows like twice so far this year. And one of them was back in October. So we've been pretty good so far down here.
Yeah, I remember that day. I think when I was doing it, I was off to a swim practice at some ungodly hour in the morning. And I think the Blue Jays were still playing in the World Series. And that was back in October. We had to scrape. And, you know, being the Okanagan, it's a bit colder here than in the lower mainland. But it's been pretty much full on winter minus, you know, snow in town here for the past couple of weeks.
You living up there in the Okanagan, you get to have the wonderful ski resorts up there to play in, and you get the lake to do your polar bear swim. You got it all going up there.
Oh man, it's a happening place. Tell us, I mean, here we are in the Christmas/New Year season. How are you keeping active nowadays in the season where things can kind of go off the rails sometimes?
Yeah, it's true. I keep my holiday seasons pretty low key, so I managed to keep a lot of time to myself still. And for myself, last year, kind of at the beginning of the holiday season, as you mentioned, I'm a high school teacher. When I started the holidays, I just started running every day, like making a point of going out every day. I felt last year around this time I was getting a little too heavy. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I managed to keep that going for over a year now because it's an extra week into that. So basically, I get out and do at least a 5K every day.
Wow, that's impressive. So you've been keeping this running for a long time. Give us a progress report. How are your joints, your knees, your ankles, your running shoe collection?
The running shoe collection is getting quite large. I got to say, I do cheat on it a little bit because I'm a PE teacher, and some days I get all my runs in while I'm working. So that helps me out a little bit. The joints are actually way better. I find that I have way less aches and pains. Everything just seems to stay fit and lubricated, and I've actually probably never felt better as far as that goes.
That's pretty amazing because you'd think, I mean, common old, you know, wives' tales, the stuff our mothers used to tell us, you know, doing this sort of stuff at our age and doing it as much or as frequently, you know, it's going to lead to maybe not an early grave, but certainly an early wheelchair. But, you know, that's really not the case.
Yeah, no. And I mean, I'm only doing like I said, usually around 5K a day. Some days it might be 10 or more, but I mean, at 5K a day, it's you're not doing it and pounding it that hard. So it's not like I'm running a double marathon out there.
Oh, I've heard about double marathons before. It's something called an ultra triathlon. Just a quick inside information. What's your main go-to shoe that's been preventing these injuries? I'm always interested.
Right now, over the last year, I've been running a lot in Hoka. So, I've been using the Clifton 9, and then over the winter season now, I've got the version that's good for being out in the rain, and I had a Mach 6. But I think I'm gonna be trying the but yeah, I was gonna switch it up on the next spring shoe.
I've got absolutely no brand loyalty. I've got a stable of about 16 pairs of running shoes. Hokas are in there, Brooks are in there, Altra, which is big in the Ultra community, is in there. Asics, you name it, I've got it, and I like them all fairly equally. A special tool for the circumstances. Well, let's get into the podcast. I mean, my goodness, Larry, you've been at this podcast as well for quite some time. Tell us about the podcast that you do.
Coming up in on January 29th, I will be celebrating my 5th anniversary of doing the podcast. I do my podcast every 3 weeks. It is called 515, the Ultra Podcast. And it's a podcast that invites people to listen to the people that are racing the 515 Ultraman distance. So we bring them on and we have a conversation, find out about who they are, what they do, and what kind of races they've had in the past. And it's from people all over the world and is listened to by people all over the world. A great way to keep in touch with all these people that I first got to know by attending the Ultraman and the Ultra 520K in Penticton.
Yeah, you have certainly been the in recent times at least the go-to guy in the ultra community because you've spoken with everybody. I mean, race directors, athletes, the whole gamut there, and they've all at one time or another in the past 5 years been on your show.
Yeah, I've been very blessed to be able to get most of the people that want to do a podcast to come on and do a podcast. It like you said, yeah, there's race directors. My most recent episode that came out this week was with Max Nesev, who just won the Ultraman World Championship in Hawaii. I've got a couple in the can that are coming up that I'm excited about as well. And yeah, and some other adventures that I've taken on as an extension of the podcast as well that we can talk about.
Okay, let's do it. For our listeners, because whenever I have an ultra person on the podcast, it's time for a refresher course of the distances, or at least the most popular distances of triathlon. So we've got at, one end, we've got the super sprint, the sprint distance, which probably is the hottest format in triathlon today. You look around, you try and sign up for a sprint, and you're maybe a month away, you're not getting in. And that's certainly a big one. We also have the standard, or what we used to call the Olympic distance, which is the 1.5K swim, 40K bike, 10K run. And then this new thing that's on the block, which is new from Vancouver and it's around the world and it's becoming a thing, which is, of course, the T100 distance. Then we've got the half Ironman, we've got the Ironman, and then we have the Ultra. So, Larry, break it down for us. What are the distances for an ultra triathlon?
Yeah, the ultra distances start with a 10-kilometer swim, and then go to a 145-kilometer bike ride, and that's day one. And each of these days must be done under 12 hours. And then on the second day, you do get to go home and sleep and rest. It's not like a continuous thing. On the second day, you have a 276-kilometer bike ride. And on day three, you run a double marathon 84.3-kilometer run, which of course totals 515 kilometers, the title of my podcast, 515, the Ultra Podcast.
Now you know the key to that name of that podcast. So it's a 3-day event. It's off and it's on as far as popularity of ultras go, but we're here in 2025. So tell us about some of the big stories in ultra triathlon from the past year.
I coming onto the podcast, I thought, well, what should I share from, you know, what's happened on the podcast, what's been happening in the ultra world, and I got five for you. So I'll do a David Letterman top five instead of a top 10 for you. Number five is kind of ultra triathlon, old 515 distance adjacent, and that is something that I just thought we could talk about, and that's the retirement of a couple of previous 515 champions, and that's not retiring from 515, but retiring from the Ironman community, and that's Didi Griesbauer and Kate Bevilacqua. So those two are leaving, and hopefully maybe coming back to 515. I think Kate said she was going to go race age group, but so that's something that's kind of come out within the community. You know, we like to keep track of the people that are, and then adjacent to the 515 community, not someone who's actually done a 515 race, but has done much larger races. Someone from your neck of the woods, another retirement this year, kind of came out of nowhere, and that's Shanda Hill. You're probably familiar with her exploits.
Yes.
So she's going to be on the podcast coming up. She's completed seven DECAs, and five of those DECAs she started last year alone. Yeah. An amazing career, probably the most decorated woman in all of the IUTA as far as the number of races she's done. I've spoken with her, and she'll be on the podcast to talk about all of the things that she's accomplished and why she chose to do this retirement now. So if people are familiar with her, I'm sure people in your community are, that's going to be on my next episode of the podcast.
Okay, interesting. I think that podcast interview was inevitable at some point.
Yeah, well, that's with the 515 podcast, I always try and make it people that have done or are going to do a 515 race. She's not actually done one, but she's gone so far above. What I'm trying to do in this coming year, my sixth year of the podcast, is to maybe extend away from just the 515 family and go to some more of those other ultra events. So I spoke to her to kind of start that off. Like, she's clearly doing bigger events. She's done a triple DECA. So
you're going to have some hellish good stories, Larry.
Oh yeah. Yes. I got, when we spoke, we ended up speaking for 2.5 hours. So I don't even know how I'm going to edit that down, what it's going to look like if I edit that down.
Yeah.
Most of my podcasts are generally around 75 minutes. I try and keep them a little longer than a regular podcast, just because I know the people that are listening to it are doing it while they're on their long workouts for 515. So this one might break the bank on how long it goes for. Number four is the amazing result of another DECA athlete down in Rio de Janeiro, and that's Sergio Cordeiro, who is a 515 champion from the past. And he is now 70 years old. Wow. And completed a DECA Ultra. Yes. So he's done, I think, close to 2515 races. He's been doing it right from the beginning of the whole Ultraman in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And he actually, when he was running in Hawaii one year, he actually did the double marathon barefoot.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. And he finished third in that race. So
amazing. And he's still with it at the age of what?
70. 71, I believe. Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive. I mean, you know, we think about, you know, an Ironman champion or participant, Sister Madonna Booter, doing it well into her 70s. But yeah, to do the length of a race that this fella's done is outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for people, again, maybe we should mention this, like a DECA is 10 Ironman races in a row. So you swim the length of 10, and then you bike the length of 10, and then you run the length of 10. And basically the clock starts and stops. It, like, there's no timeouts in that one. There's no going to bed in between. It's whatever you do.
Wow, impressive stuff. And once again, you know, hats off to him to be able to take on the challenge and complete it at that, you know, advanced age, we'll say.
And number three for me is the one-time world record holder for the 5:15 distance, which he held for just a month and a half. And that's Max Nezev going into Hawaii and winning the race there this year. This guy is such a beast. He's probably the fastest guy out there doing 5:15 races right now, with Simon Cochrane not doing them any longer. There's a few other guys out there that are definitely fast and have definitely inspired him to get to where he is. I haven't heard of any of them with races on the horizon, though. So of people that are active at the moment, he's probably the fastest guy out there. He previously did a 21:21:05 at the Ultraman Arizona, which was the one that gave him the record for the month and a half up until Simon Cochrane came and blew that out of the water at 1948. But Max is very quick as well, because later on that year at Cyberman, Max did a 19:50:29. So he was like a minute and a half, 2 minutes behind Simon's world record time when he did it in Cyberman. Max is the one who I just mentioned is in my latest episode of the podcast. So he'll tell you all about how he did that time and what he's chasing in the coming years. He's got a couple of really big goals coming up as well that I think people would be inspired to hear.
So it sounds like he might want the record over Cochrane.
Yes, he definitely wants the record over Cochrane and a couple other interesting things as well.
So based on your intel, and this is not necessarily a spoiler alert or a spoiler at all, but what do you think the missing ingredient is for him right now? I mean, he did well. He obviously is the world champion. What's going to make him knock off Simon Cochrane, possibly?
Well, he'll tell you that his weakest discipline is the swim. So if he can get a few minutes back in the swim, his biking is quite strong and his running is incredible. Performs at an incredibly low heart rate. He's been tuning in all of the other parts, the nutrition, the lead up activities. His bike is like custom 3D built for him now to, you know, have the best possible wind resistance out there, like to cut the wind. So I think he's got everything going for him that he needs to be very successful, and the training is there as well, and the knowledge. So he's got it all. I think he just has to put it together for 1 day, or 3 days, I should say.
Yeah.
He just has to put it together for 3 days. I think we'll see that record go down.
Yeah, and not to sound a bit like Bob Babbitt, although I do want to be Bob Babbitt in ways, but it's so good for the sport when we get this sort of excitement injected into it, whether it's a world record. I mean, last year, not everybody, but a big part of the triathlon community was energized and interested in the ultra distance because of what Jen Annett had done both here in the Okanagan and in Hawaii. You know, it created a lot of interest. So hopefully Max, I mean, Simon did as well, but you gotta admit that Jen is more good looking than either of those fellas, but you gotta admit that, you know, world records falling, that's cause for some interest, right?
Oh, absolutely is. And I think he sounds like the type of guy that he's going to always have the challenge to want to do it with people as well. So hopefully when he signs up for his next couple of races, he's going to have some of those other fast people come out of the woodwork, because he wants to race people. He doesn't want to go out on a course and just race the clock. He wants to race people. I hope that there'll be some very exciting racing that comes out of the fact that he wants to do this as well.
Yeah, and that's with the last, well, actually 2 days, right, of last year's World Championship. We saw racing among the, you know, Jen and her second place competitor there, and that added another dimension of excitement. So, yeah, I mean, Max, talking to Dave Matheson a couple of weeks ago, I mean, Max was a lonely triathlete, just himself against the course, right?
Well, he did unfortunately get a lead that made it so that he wasn't going to have to worry about it too much on day three. Mm-hmm. And on day two, he let out most of that day as well. He was chasing Dave Matheson out of the water, though, because Dave was out before him. So that gave him something to go after.
Yeah, and well, he succeeded in that. Let's keep on moving up the list.
So my number two big event for the 515, the ultra distance this year, is something that I was involved in myself, and that was the first ever full live stream of a 515 event. So I went live with UM Australia this year in May, along with a bunch of people who helped me out to provide color, but mainly, of course, Steve King and Nick Millett. Mm-hmm. They came in and provided a lot of extra color commentary. And I was trying to direct this thing right here from my home studio here in Canada while the race is going on in Australia. And we had fabulous gentleman over there named Banat, who was running around with the camera. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to have a couple of guys, but one of them got recruited to go do another job at the race.
Oh.
So we live streamed for the full 36 hours of racing plus the awards. And it was, a fantastic event and the first of its kind to ever go on and do something like that for that amount of time.
Any cool, there got to be some good stories from 36 hours of live streaming, including the banquets. Any snippets to share?
The thing that impressed me the most was when I did hear the people at the banquets that were saying things like, "This was incredible for my family back in England who got to watch me race. They'd never seen me race before." Being able to stretch the community to people that would not have been able to travel all the way to Australia and maybe haven't been able to travel around the world to follow their loved ones. That meant a lot to me when I heard those stories. And there were numerous ones like that.
Mm-hmm. And wow, the amount of preparation and just being on, on mic, on, being awake, being alert, being able to do all this stuff over that amount of time must have been, it took its toll on you, and not necessarily in a bad way, but boy, oh boy, that must have been some tough going at times.
It was absolutely fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoy a good challenge. I started preparing it well ahead of time. I'm preparing now for the race in May. So I'm using my 2 weeks off from work now to start getting my screens together and my overlays and things like that with all the racers' names and pictures and all the screen setups where you can share the different cameras. So I've been working on that actually the last couple of weeks. And yeah, it takes a long time to set it up. It was the next challenge for me to learn something new. Like learning podcasting was one of my challenges. And it was like, okay, I got a good handle on this. Yeah. I'm able to pump these things out every 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. What can I do that's going to keep expanding this? And I thought, it sounds crazy. It sounds like something that you shouldn't do, especially from across the world. But I'm going to check out the software and see if it works. And it did. Mm-hmm. So now I learned a few things, obviously, in that first one that will allow me to make it better this year and to make it more flowy.
One of my favorite topics in the whole endurance sports realm, I guess, is food and fueling. Mm. To heck with the athletes. What were you surviving on during those long days behind the mic?
Yeah, well, I was lucky in that my girlfriend came over and she was kind of managing some back channels on the laptop. And then she would go off and make me food and bring it back. And so I was having regular food during the time. And I would just, cut my camera and mic and let Steve and Nick talk and the other commentators and just keep directing while I was having a meal. So very blessed to have her join me as part of the crew on that event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suspect that it must have been more than a one person. I mean, I've announced at some longer distance triathlons doing finish line stuff, and it's always puzzled me how Steve King or whoever's the announcer at the time can be there every moment. And for a few moments, they kind of slip away because Mother Nature calls, and you have to be ready and you have to be expedient for that. And you just, I think timing is a big thing. You don't want to be away from the microphone when some action is happening on the race course, but that can be luck, that can be timing. But once again, congratulations to you on number one, wanting to do that. Number two, pulling it off, and best of luck.
Yeah, thank you. It's definitely something exciting. And the UM Australia brand also announced on the live stream that they were expanding their races and doing a UM New Zealand next year as well. So the plan is to live stream both those races, and that one will be happening in mid-December.
Okay, well, that's going to keep you busy for the next 13 months or so. Here we go, top of the mountain. What's your number one ultra-related story of 2025, Larry?
The number one story that came up for me is the one that definitely had the biggest... The number one story that came out for me is the one that had the number one hits on my website, on my podcast, listening and stuff like that. And that was the UM Florida disqualification of Stephen Keller. Not the happiest of stories in Ultraman racing this year, but definitely the biggest of them. Stephen Keller, a champion of many races, a coach, a guy who's helped out at numerous Ultraman Florida and Arizona races, a good friend of the race director, Jen McVeigh, announced that he was going to try and do all five Ultraman branded races because they had announced the new Ultraman Mexico this year. After the first race in Florida, 2 weeks later, he was disqualified from that race, even though he had won the race, for what they said was using a camera on his bike. So people, this was the big news of the year. People were writing back and forth on Slow Twitch and everywhere else. I'm sure you saw it. It created like a quite a big rift in the Ultra family. And eventually Jen McVeigh, the race director, stepped away from doing her races. Mm-hmm. So that has definitely been the number one story of the year, is the fact that Jen McVeigh has stepped away and the Cheryl Cobb from Ultraman Hawaii has taken over the Florida race, which will be coming up shortly in February.
Do you have any intel on how many people have signed up for Florida right now?
I do not have any intel on that. That's one of the things I put in my looking ahead to 2026, is to see if it actually goes off, because I know that most of the people that went to that event were all big Jen McVeigh fans. So I don't know if the race will survive without her there. It may survive on the brand name. So it'll be, that's one of my things to look for in 2026, is to see if they're able to pull that off. That's mid-February.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what a clever segue we had. I mean, going from there to the next question, which is looking ahead, you know, at our crystal glass and what holds for the Ultraman future, you know, as far as racing, maybe athletes on the horizon, that sort of thing. What are you keen on looking at for the year ahead?
I think I've probably touched on most of them already, and that is the Ultraman Florida and my own anniversary event coming up on January 29th. I'm going to have Chad Bentley do a live stream with me as an anniversary project. He was on my first episode. Uh-huh. My very first episode was Steve King and Chad Bentley. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to bring Chad Bentley back for a live stream and see how that goes and catch up with him and see what he's been up to. So if people want to know what Chad's been up to, please check out my website, my Facebook page, and look for the notes on when that's going to happen. But it'll be around the 29th, which is the anniversary.
Okay, that sounds cool. So stay tuned for the return of Rad Chad on the 15 podcast. Before we let you go, and once again, thank you so much for taking the time to FitSpeak with us. Let's do some fantasy football, maybe triathlon style. Eventually, like years ago, I was saying to Jen Anna, you know, and this is when she was big into the, of course, Ironman stuff. It's like, you got to do an ultra before you retire. And sure enough, she did and had amazing success. So we've got a bunch of triathletes of a certain age in a certain part of their career right now who would be so fun if they towed the line at an ultra race. Do you have any in mind that would be kind of cool if they got into the ring, so to speak, in Hawaii or maybe at a more local Ultraman race?
You know what? I don't follow the Ironman that closely.
You know, this fella from Australia, I think his first name is Nick Mallett, or how do you say his name?
Nick Mallett, yes.
Yes. I think he's ready to come back and do an ultra distance race. What do you think?
Well, Nick Mallett was a big part of what I did with the live stream. Mm-hmm. And he did do another little tour on his bike across Australia and up through Indonesia and into Thailand or something this year. So he could probably pull it off with a quick 6-week training camp if he needed to.
Yeah, I think his swimming is there. He might need to lace up some running shoes, but I think his pedigree for biking is well established. But he's a bit of a media personality, especially in the ultra circles, obviously on Slow Twitch and Ironman stuff, a man of many opinions, well-founded. And it would be neat to see Nick do that, but
he does have a world record as well.
What's that?
The most DNFs at 515 races.
Is that right?
Former champion at Ultraman Canada, but I think he's DNF'd more races than he's completed.
Oh, wow. We'll have to bug him about that. and thinking about folks who would be interesting to get into it. I mean, he's been a previous champion. I don't know if he would have the gumption to do it, but Jordan Bryden, right? He's been kind of laying low. He's been doing these extreme triathlons and he's been doing, a lot of stuff. He works for a manufacturer of wetsuits now, so he's a busy guy, but I think he's got some unfinished business at the ultra distance.
Yeah, Jordan's a great guy. I would love to see him return and pull off another race. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that Max is focusing on as well in the coming years, is he's looking to do all the extreme tries now.
Oh, yeah. And there might be one coming to Penticton. Aha! Okay, well, let's leave it at that. It sounds like you've got an interesting year. You keep rolling with the podcast. You've tried some innovative things, some ultra kind of ideas in the podcasting world, especially with the live stream. You've got a host of amazing guests, inspirational stories. I like the fact that you tell it how it is, because we could have glossed over your number one story of the year and said everything is Hakuna Matata, but that's the world of ultra at the moment. So we're going to have to do this again in maybe 12 months, Larry.
Oh, it sounds great. I'd love to do it. And maybe I can get you to come by and do a little guest spot on the live stream as well and provide some commentary.